system.
The Labor Party
stepped over the line.
They'll be silent.
Federal Politics with Dennis Shanahan.
On Radio 2UE.
Yeah. We know it's early. Dennis is at the airport, and here he is now. Are you there, Dennis?
I am, fellas. How are you?
Good, thank you, Dennis.
Are you going to Melbourne today, are you?
No, I'm actually on my way to Singapore.
Oh, okay.
Prime Minister starts an official visit in Singapore tomorrow morning. Mm. He'll be leaving from the Liberal Council meeting, which is in Melbourne this morning. He'll be flying to Singapore this evening. I'll be on the spot when he gets there.
Oh, you'll be there waiting for him when he gets off the plane?
Yes, with a hand towel and a squeezy, all of those sort of things.
It's damn hot over there.
I think they'll give that to him on the plane.
Very wet as well.
Yeah. All right. Now, we're in the winter break now, aren't we? That's all finished for the winter period?
That's right. It's the six-week winter break now. It resumes in the spring session, which is actually August, so it's still winter. But as the parliamentary cycle goes, it's the spring session, and it's 6 weeks away. So we're finished for the moment.
All right. Now, can we start off with probably one of the hottest topics we've had for quite some time, and that is the stripping of the citizenship. Now, I think most Australians are okay with the dual citizenship. If a dual citizen person joins some terrorist organisation overseas, you knock off the Australian citizenship, and they've still got their other citizenship they can fall back on. But yep. I noticed on the front page of The Australian today, they're talking about making a move on solo citizenships. And what Tony Abbott apparently has said in a speech is that it is the modern form of treason, and they want to modernise the treason laws. And if I'm reading him correctly, he seems to be saying, while they can't actually strip the citizenship, they don't want to do that, they can strip away some of the benefits, like, for example, living in Australia.
Yeah, look, this is in the reason for the reflection on treason and ancient history and so on. This was a speech the Prime Minister gave earlier in the week on the on Magna Carta.
Yeah.
Australia actually possesses a copy of Magna Carta, an original. So he was talking about that at its birthday. And he was making the point, he was talking about the treason laws. A lot of people have talked about this. A lot of people in the public have said, you know, why don't we just impose the current treason laws? Well, you can't really. They have to be updated to relate to other, other groups. It's all very well to say if someone goes off and fights with an army that's trying to invade Australia or against Australia's interests, that's one thing. But the terrorism threat wasn't conceived when the laws were first put in. And so they're looking at ways of trying to limit the rights and privileges of citizenship. And one of those rights would be to suspend the ability to return until you actually are able to explain what you've been doing in the prescribed areas of Syria and Iraq.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And so where would you have to explain that? There's a lot of detail there that needs to be worked out.
Yes.
But Dennis, I'm sure that most Australians want something done, and you're quite right. The treason laws, when they were first put together, there was nothing like the terrorism that we have today around then. So I think they're quite right about updating them, but they will need to tread carefully on that particular one.
Indeed. And look, we saw enough internal dissent from the Liberal Party and the Cabinet and the Ministry when the idea was first brought forward on stripping citizenship from dual nationals. Taking or suspending citizenship from sole nationals is going to be a whole new idea. The Prime Minister recognised that right at the beginning of this debate, and he pushed off the idea of suspending or stripping sole citizenship community consultation. So it's out there for discussion, and clearly a few of the ideas that the government has include suspending it or you justifying what you've been doing before you're allowed to come back.
Okay, now last Monday night on Q&A, a convicted man of the crimes against Australia who had done a jail sentence and had made threats to Australia was allowed to ask a question at Q&A and then was allowed to almost have a debate with a minister or a minister's assistant from from the panel. What do you make of all of this, Dennis?
Look, I think that everyone agrees, even the ABC agrees, that this was an error to begin with. The way the ABC has dealt with it has been mixed. There is no doubt that someone who is clearly and well-known and has been on the program before and offered questions before, he wasn't an unknown quantity. This wasn't somebody who snuck into the audience and then suddenly popped up unexpectedly on live television, which is what the ABC has said, oh, well, live television has these
problems. No, they conspired to have him on, to put it in pretty rough terms.
They paid to have him come into the studio from where he lives. They dealt with his question. They approved his question. They actually changed the question and gave him the opportunity to ask the question and then gave him the opportunity to respond to Steve Chabo, the parliamentary secretary, on the issue after Chabo had actually, given a fairly forthright reply.
Yeah. I thought his answer,
provocative answer.
I thought his answer was very good. Now, there's a couple of angles to this, Dennis. The Prime Minister said heads should roll over this. At our place, and I'm sure everybody's place all around Australia had all sorts of responses. Two things that really annoyed the hell out of us. One is they continued to replay it and you could download it. That's annoyance one. Second was the damn audience applauded this bloke. And we were gobsmacked that Australians in the audience, many of them, half of them were supposed to be Liberals, they're applauding this low-life piece of scum when he did that on Q&A.
Well, it is extraordinary. Some of the applause meters on the audience in Q&A is a bit hard to understand when it's supposed to be a balanced audience. Someone said to me this week that it's supposed to be a cross-section, but it's actually a cross-section of the population of Glebe in the inner city rather than a cross-section of Australia.
Yeah. I've heard it said that if you really want tickets, just say you're a Liberal. It doesn't matter who you are.
that's it. I mean, there's not much they can do. But look, I think that this really is there's a real issue here. They've raised the issue of freedom of the press and freedom of speech.
Yeah.
But the point is, and I think it was a step too far for Mark Scott, the ABC chief, to actually compare this to the Charlie Hebdo issue and freedom of speech there.
That was insulting, mate. That was insulting.
Well, it was, and it wasn't logical. And I think that the ABC has come off second best in this, and they really do need to have a look at their editorial policy.
Yeah, but we'll find out how tough the government is.
No, nothing
and
will happen.
I don't think they're going to be very tough at all.
Don't hold your breath, mate.
Just on the Charlie Hebdo business, and there was the free speech issue raised its head. Something about free speech a lot of people don't understand. If you have freedom of speech, you're not obliged to give somebody a microphone or a platform. And that's what the ABC did. They conspired with this bloke. They knew what he was going to do, and they gave him a platform, and they're paid for by us whether we want to pay for it or not, and it gets our goat up. Now,
that's right, and it was unfiltered, you see. This
absolutely
is the point.
Yeah.
They talk about other people, and in fact, the Australian has interviewed him at various stages, but the point is, when you interview someone, you can filter out what they say.
Absolutely.
And when they go on live and then be given an opportunity to respond to the minister's response was another invitation for him to say anything. And it did come down to incitement. And this is, even undercuts the whole freedom of speech issue.
Absolutely. Now, Bill Shorten, he's had a bad run, and I guess he's thankful, and I know he's supporting the ABC, but he must be thankful for the Q&A controversy because it has taken a blowtorch off him a bit. Now, again, disappointing reactions, and we're saying how disappointed we were when the audience applauded this lowlife. Well, with Bill Shorten, I was discussing this with a couple of friends who were quite intelligent, knowledgeable people. And I said, what do you make of the Bill Shorten lie? And they went, oh, well, all politicians lie, for goodness sake. What's the big deal?
Yep.
And I thought, you know what, they actually mean it. Has it come to this in this country where it doesn't really mean much when politicians lie?
Well, there's an interesting point here. A lot of people were saying this to me. They said, oh, well, politicians all lie all the time. Well, there are two aspects here. For a start, politicians are generally pretty careful not to lie. They know that being caught in a lie is pretty bad. And I think that despite the people saying, oh, they lie all the time, this is going to hurt Bill Shorten's credibility a great deal. And the second aspect is his excuse for lying was that he was caught on the hop.